Welcome back to the Outsider's Perspective. I am here with our host,
Rock the Outsider.
And I am just that other guy, Emeka.
Just that other guy. That's all. So, I wanted to talk about corruption because there's so much that is going on right now. Especially with, like, you heard about what's going on in Jackson, Mississippi, right?
No, what's going on in Jackson, Mississippi,
man? Oh, you haven't heard? Okay, so there is a county jail in Jackson, Mississippi, and they found 215 dead inmates buried behind the jail.
215?
Yeah.
In Jackson, Mississippi?
In Jackson, Mississippi. And, like,
that's all they found?
That's crazy. But yeah, like,
I mean, yeah, that is crazy. They're getting caught doing this shit now, but yeah, it's not uncommon.
But it's like they're not notifying these people's next of kin that they're dying. And then there was one where they exhumed the body and the mom was like, I want to be there, and then they did it without her there and then reburied her son before she even had an opportunity to see it. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, sometimes they're hiding stuff.
Yeah, they're hiding
just like a lot Bishop. Of stuff. Oh, rest in peace, Bishop, you know?
Yeah.
You know, his family was kind of old and shit, and I don't know if they pursued anything afterwards. I tried getting in touch with his sister, I'm a witness if you need, you know?
Right.
But stuff like that, when you don't have family, then they can sweep you under the rug.
Right. Did you want to talk about that a little bit?
I mean, maybe we can if we don't get too far off subject.
I mean, it goes with what with the officer just allowing it to happen, like, I feel like that's corruption, you know what I'm saying? Like, just standing by and watching something, you're just as complicit as the people
that's
doing something.
Yeah. Now, I guess I can get a little into the story. Bear with me, I'm not that great of a storyteller. So, there was a guy named Bishop, an old man. And he was a crazy little aggressive old fucker,
you know? But he was
mean,
cool.
Mean ass old man. But he's cool. I love Bishop. Yeah, he's a cool Bishop, ass dude. But yeah, I know how he gets sometimes when he doesn't have his drugs and shit, or he's been up for a while. So you know, he kind of gets mean every now and then. Well, he got put into the room with this young guy, and the thing back then were this shit called strips. So people would smoke these strips of paper, and it'll make you fucking trip out. You know, you wig the fuck out.
Like, people going crazy.
Yeah, the term for it is wig outs.
Wigging out.
So what happened was, you know, Bishop and Stacy, I think his name was, they used to smoke strips together all the time and you know, get high, you know, get geeked up and shit. Well, I feel like when you smoke these strips, like, it takes you to another place, man. Like, you get possessed by demons and shit.
Yeah, just crazy.
So, and at Hancock, there's so much strange energy in there. Like, I could feel when something's about to happen. Like, when some bullshit's about to go down. It's like this energy comes through. You know, that's the demon. You know, and then it
lingers for days, like just a bunch of just different stuff happens, like right back to back to back.
And you could just feel that shit, you know. So anyways, well, I guess this night I was actually in Bishop's room before this shit happened, before we locked down, because he was somebody I talked to all the time. And I'll never forget the last time I saw Bishop. He was sitting on the bunk. And he was smoking a dirty. He's like, man, he's all mad and shit. I'm like, Bishop, what's up, man? He's like, man, I'm trying to fucking smoke this shit, man. It won't fucking stay lit. I'm like, hey, Bishop, what's wrong with it, man? Would you drop it something? He's like, man, it's a dirty. I was like, man, Bishop.
That's why I won't steal it.
You know how you smoke dirty now, man. You know you need open flame. You know, it's gonna go out. You know it's gonna go out. So anyways, you know, my last memory is him sitting over there on the bunk, and I told him that, you know, you need open flame. He's like, what? Mecca, you know what? I'm over here mad as hell, man. I'm glad you told me that, man. I forgot, you know, and he smoked his little stuff before we had lockdown. So anyways, when we locked down, I guess Stacy had went and got some. No, Stacy had smoked a little bit of a strip before lockdown, but she does it all the time. You know, right. The wig out thing doesn't happen every time, but
But when it happens, it happens.
Like maybe 2 out of 10 times it happens. So when we locked down, I guess they were smoking or doing whatever. And about 2 hours after lockdown, you can hear Bishop yelling. And I didn't know what the fuck was going on because I was like 4 doors down from Bishop. But I hear him yelling. I'm thinking, I didn't even know it was him. I'm thinking maybe someone's fighting or maybe someone's just wigging the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because that,
you know, anything is possible. Like, yeah, yeah.
You know, and then like people wig the fuck out. And the next morning it's like, hey, what happened to your room? Oh, nothing, man. Just wigged out.
Yeah.
Just normal wig out. So this man's in there getting beat to death. And at the time, I was just thinking someone was wigging out. I didn't even know it was his voice. And, you know, I went to sleep. I woke up. And when I woke up, I knew something was, like, before the door even opened to my room, I knew something happened. I could feel it. Neither me or my roommate had been out the room yet. And so I go out the room, and I go get some hot water or something. And I forgot who it was. He came to me and said, hey, man, you know, goddamn, you know, Bishop dead, man. Swag told me. He's like, man, you know, that boy Stacy killed my old man, Bishop last night. When he told me that, I knew.
Right, it clicked.
I knew. It wasn't no what, huh? I was like, oh, that's what's going on. Because I had already felt it.
Right.
So when he told me, I'm like, goddamn. And it kind of stumped me because it's like, shit, that man really just sat over there all night. He was screaming for his life. That's what was going on. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a wig out. That was someone getting beat to death. Well, meanwhile, while he's getting beat to death, at one point, you have this officer. I forgot that fucking bitch's name. Can't remember her name. I'm going to remember that name. I'm going to put her on blast, too. But anyways, she sat a few feet away from that door while he was screaming for his life. And she didn't open the door. She walked past the door, told him to be quiet.
That's crazy.
And, you know, she finished packing the man's bags who was transferring. And it's crazy that she completely had, like, disregarded this man's life. Like, this man's screaming bloody murder, literally. He's begging for his life. And you could have easily called for backup. He was getting beat for hours.
Right.
You know, this man was screaming for hours. So he was fighting for his life for hours. So all you had to do is contact someone. It was late at night. Even if it took an hour and a half for the deputy warden to come here because he's the one who's in charge. He lives right there on the campus.
Right.
You know, he still has a chance. But she did nothing. Nothing at all.
That's crazy.
And when the doors pop in the morning, you know, he's dead. And what's fucked up is the mentality of people and what they think about.
Right.
So these two guys, you know, Stacy and Bishop, they were both cool to me, you know. Stacy, he was just a young, confused guy. You know, at the time he was a Muslim. I think he used to be GD. I don't know. He doesn't know his place. So he's something. So, you know, we would talk about stuff, you know, and I'm trying to be, I'm old school. I'm up now, you know, so I try to, you know, talk some sense into some of these young guys. And, yeah, I spent time with them kicking it, you know, talking positive stuff with them. But, so he was cool with me, you know? So it was like a lose-lose, you know? He just killed Bishop because I fucked with Bishop. I knew Bishop way before I knew him, and Bishop was a good old man. Also, he just, like, put himself in prison the way I'm seeing it for the rest of his life, because now you just killed this man. You're going home in months. Now you're never going home, bro.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucked up. I hate it for both of y'all. You know, but it actually didn't end up happening like that, which I'm about to get into that. But, you know, the way I saw it, it was a fucked up situation
right, all
the way around. So for the officer to do that, which SOP is, you have to walk around and look at every inmate every 30 minutes, you know, when your population, if they were doing that, Bishop would be alive right now.
Right.
You know, so there should be a way for Bishop's family to get some kind of justice in the form of compensation for a, what's it called? A death,
like while in state custody or whatever?
Yeah, because he shouldn't have, that should have never happened.
Right.
Like negligence. Like that's, there was, that's there was, exactly there was what negligence, it is. You know? So, yeah, that's that. That's it. And what's so corrupt is the next day. Oh, wait, back to the mindset of these people. So when everyone found out that you know, everyone knows that there's a dead man in this room.
Right.
So that day was store day. I'm thinking, man, you know, it's fucked up, man. Stacy's about to get a lot of time unless he goes and, you know, this is what he could do because we're all in the different rooms. He can just go pack his shit, put himself on the door. And if they come in here and find him, you know, he really wasn't in that room anyway, so he could probably dodge it, you know?
Right.
That's what I'm thinking. Even though I fucks with Bishop too, which it might sound fucked up that I would even think of a way for him to not get charged with the murder.
Right.
But I mean, it is what it is. Like I said, it's a loss. So yes, this happened, but this is stuff that happened that should have never happened.
Right.
You know, even though you did do that, which I feel like you smoked that strip and got possessed for a fucking hour and killed this man, which is not an excuse, but that's what happened. But even if you do get possessed for a fucking hour, 2 hours, these people are supposed to walk around just and look in there, make sure you don't need a fucking priest to exorcise the demon out of you.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, with that being said, you know, I didn't want to see that happen to him. And these guys were thinking about like one thing. I went to this guy's room and I was like, yeah, man, it's a sad thing that happened, huh? He said, yeah, bro. Man, I'm just telling bro just to wait until after store call till she come down with that stove call. So that, you know, so I get my stove call, then she can go in, they can go in there and get up out there and shit. I'm like, bro, wait, say what now?
Like a whole human being just
died. There's a dead soul. There's a dead body, an empty body. There's a dead man over there. A man that comes to your room and buys shit and cleans your shit up all the time. And he's dead a few doors down. And you're talking about store call? You're talking about some
fucking ramen noodle soups and tuna. Like, you fit, like, you value ramen noodle soups, honey buns, and tuna over a person's life.
Yeah, and I don't know, man. To me, that's wild because the way I see and value human life is, is more valuable than anything because I'm willing to give, it's not more valuable than food. I'm willing to give my food to another human being, you know. It's more valuable than money because I'm willing to give money to another human being. You know, it's people are more value than anything, to me at least.
Yeah, and I feel the same way.
When someone dies, it's over. You know, this man's dead. This is his mom's fucking child. You know,
right?
He has a mom and dad too. He has brothers. You know, he has sisters. You know, and he's somebody. You know, this can happen to anyone.
Yeah,
that can happen to any of us. You know, so. Yeah, that's the story of Bishop, man. Rest in peace. But yeah, and that lady, she didn't get in trouble for anything.
Right.
She came back to work the next day doing the same things. You know, she was a real bitch. She used to lock us in, or like if the door closes, she wouldn't open the door for like hours and shit. You know, so she wouldn't give a fuck if someone was getting killed anyways. That's which true. She obviously didn't because she didn't.
She let it happen.
Let it happen.
Yeah, I mean It's sad how common that is because something similar happened with my co-defendant. I don't know if I've ever even told you this story about my co-defendant. Yeah, so, oh man, it was a few years into our bid and he was at Reidsville and he got on drugs and all of that, you know, young white dude, you know, you already know how it is.
Yeah.
And so
they all have the same stories.
And yeah, he ends up in the hole and somehow he's in contact with his mom. He's calling his mom. He's like, I need somebody to come down here and talk to me. Like somebody needs to come, you know, check on me. And she's calling to the prison and like, look, can somebody please go down there? Somebody go talk to my son. And they're like, oh, he's fine. And this and all this and that. And I'm not sure how long this is going on. If it's over the course of a day or a couple of days. But by the time they get down to him, the man's hanging from his bunk. And they get in there and they get him down. They get him down in time, so he didn't die immediately. But he was in a vegetative state for like almost like 2 years, maybe.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and then he passed away. And it's like, why do you feel like... it's like, I can see it from both sides somewhat, because there's so many people that fake things and do things just to get the guard to come to the door and then pull their penis out, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, when something serious is actually happening, you know, like, sure, the guards are hesitant, but it's like, there should be some sort of protocol that you take in every single situation, and you treat every single situation with a certain amount of seriousness, I guess, and then let there be repercussions. It's like, yeah, it's like a fake call to 911. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's illegal, and you there should be repercussions for it. It's the same thing when you're in the hole and you're trying to get the officer to come to your door, and if you're just trying to bullshit and waste their time, you know, or expose yourself or whatever it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when somebody's mom is calling from outside of the prison, and they're calling and like, look, go in there and talk to my son, you could do her that courtesy, you know? And I mean, she had a lawsuit with them and she won $1 million, but still, that's not, that's your child's life.
Yeah. $1 million is
like, you can't buy another kid, you know?
Can't buy all those memories.
None of that. And it's,
Yeah, I think that people that stuff like that happens to should be able to pursue a wrongful death lawsuit against the state. And that's what I was thinking about, wrongful death earlier.
They should find a way, because why are so many people dying inside of prisons? Why is there so, like, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Man killed himself. But, like, why is no one checking on inmates? Why is nobody... Like, there's no, sure, there's these counselors that they have that come around and don't do shit. But, like, why is there no real mental health treatment other than you get to a certain level of mental health and they just dope you up?
See, now they have it so that when you come in, you're automatically a mental health something. Like,
right.
There's like a mental, so like, that's how they got passed and they made every, you know, mental health and regular inmates, like, that's all the prisons are now.
Right. Everybody's so, mental health. Yeah, because prison, they're locked
every,
up.
Every prison, mental health prison, they have their counselors are for it. With the...
mental health. The counselor's not doing anything.
Yeah, the counselor's not doing anything. There was something else I was about to tell you, and you must edit this, by the way.
I will.
Yeah. It's going to come back to me. Give me 1 second. Give me 1 second. One for the ass. Oh, yeah. What the people do.
Should we just move on?
Yeah, we're gonna move on.
All right.
There's something important too about this subject.
Yeah. It's just, it's not right the way that things happen, and nobody is held responsible for the loss of these lives.
Oh, yeah. So these prisons that this stuff is happening at are supposed to be maximum security prisons. Right. They're called close security prison. That's a close observation prison. Like, at all times, there must be, we must be in view, visual contact, you know, and
unobstructed view of,
you know,
an
officer. Unobstructed view. Yeah. So we're not supposed to have, we have windows on all the doors. Nothing's supposed to be on the doors. So if they walk past, well, when they walk past like they're supposed to, they can see in there and see nothing's happening. Yeah. At all times they should, they're supposed to be able to see us. That's why the windows on the bathrooms, the showers, you know, all that.
Right.
So if they went by the book, then this stuff, yeah, it wouldn't be a problem.
Right.
But they don't go by the book. Now, you know, I know how this is, you know, how it goes. You know, sometimes you want to be able to get in good with the officer and be cool, you know.
Right.
Some of them, they're people too. But the thing is, that's fine too, because there are officers that used to kick it and play with some of the other inmates and shit. But there's a line that needs to be established, like with professionalism. Like, you can be cool with people and shit, but when it comes to certain things, like walking around, making sure motherfuckers are alive.
Yeah.
If someone's beating on the door, screaming for their life, you know, hey, drop everything. Yeah, I'm not playing right now. Hold on. You know,
right.
There needs to be a line.
And I think there's really no training either involved. Like, they go find these kids 19 years old and just throw them in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they do some, like, little training on a computer, maybe. Like, they have to take a test or something like that. Other than that...
Yeah, anybody can get in there.
Yeah, as long as you don't have a felony and you have a pulse.
Pretty much.
Like, they don't count properly. It's so much going on. And it's like... What is this doing for society? Like, I mean, sure, there are violent criminals out there, and there are people that I feel like deserve to be incarcerated, but not everybody that is incarcerated needs incarceration. Some people need therapy. Some people need rehab. Some people just need guidance. And as a society, why aren't we offering that?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think some. I think, like, all. Yeah. Because there was a time when I was in there, I needed guidance. You know, I needed some kind of, luckily I found a way myself, but some kind of path, you know, something to reprogram my mind
right.
to success, you know, to successful thinking and successful actions, you right. know. So, yeah, that's definitely required. Like, I feel like that's necessary for everyone in there.
And I think that we should build a network of people, because you and I, we've been through that situation of being in prison and transitioning out. And like, when I did it, I didn't have nobody. Like, I didn't have nobody who had been through what I'd been through to even know, like, or even like explain to me what to expect. And the world changed so much in the time that I was locked up. Like, it was just crazy jumping back into it, especially like dealing with like the remnants of COVID, because like we missed all of that.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't miss it because it was crazy in there too. Yeah. But
I mean, well, not really.
It was different. It was.
They started feeding us again on the weekends.
We definitely got food.
And then,
but like, there's times where there'd be no officers. Inspection. Like, yeah, there was no inspection. Yeah. There was no count time.
At the time, like, it was really all right until someone had to fuck it up. You know, we went for like weeks without having to do inspections. So we cooking liquor, you know,
every day. Oh man, I was going crazy with the liquor. Yeah.
And then some idiot had to go and stab somebody.
Yeah. But I lost my train of thought this time.
COVID in there. It was crazy.
Oh yeah, but no, so I feel like we need to build some sort of network of people, like formerly incarcerated people, to help one another, mm-hmm. you know. Help adjust, help transition your mind, because there's certain behaviors that you have to have inside of prison that you're not even aware of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a subliminal thing that just like it gets ingrained in you because you're just in there and you kind of just fall into the mold and then you just get let out and like you still have these behaviors with you. You still have these habits that you might not even recognize you have.
Mm-hmm.
And like somebody else who's been through incarceration and reentry successfully can help you by letting you know, like, hey, you probably shouldn't do that, you know, mm-hmm. or be aware of when you do this and this, you know. You talk too aggressive to people sometimes.
Yeah.
And like, not even realizing it, just because.
Shit,
yeah, dude, I didn't like people that know me and people that I sit there and kick it with. They're like, "Oh, you're cool," but then like somehow I can come off aggressive to other people. But like, literally, I am sarcastic 97% of the time. Like, I'm just joking. Like, I want to laugh and have a good time because I know how bad it can be. You know, like, why would I want to walk around being mad and aggressive and angry and, like why? It's crazy. But, yeah, craziness. Speaking of craziness and officers, so somebody sent me a link. I think I shared it with you. Somebody sent me a link of an officer, a former officer now, from the prison that we were at, Hancock State Prison, who she was caught in intimate acts with an inmate, caught by another inmate. And... right now. And she was kindly asked to leave. Oh yeah,
let's see. Go ahead, read this article. Go ahead and read this. Human and Civil Rights Coalition of Georgia. Okay. Everything but the safety and rehabilitation of inmates is going down at Hancock State Prison. We received a tip about Sergeant Kinkara Battle. That is Sergeant Kinkara.
You just spell that.
Sergeant K-E-N apostrophe capital Q-U-A-R-A.
Yeah. If you battle, know,
B-A-T-T-L-E.
If you know how to pronounce that, let us know, because we're probably saying that wrong.
Kinkara. So, okay. Who was a sergeant at Hancock State Prison, being caught last week, 1/21/24, having sex with an inmate and being caught by one of her colleagues.
Oh, caught by a colleague. Okay.
So... caught by college, she knew about it the whole time. She probably got mad and jealous and went ahead and told on her, because she probably does the same thing too. Okay, after some investigating, HCRCGA was able to get our eyes on the heavily redacted incident report. Yeah, they will change an incident report
quick, with the quickness.
Even after you read it and tell them, yeah, it said such and such. No, it didn't. They'll tell you right to your face. It didn't say that. You'll give them a copy of the one that you have, and they'll tell you, no, give me that. You know, they'll try to take it from you. No, you didn't say that. It's right here. Okay. What's interesting from looking at the incident report, there are a total of 4 female officers listed as being directly involved. It's no wonder the staff can't properly do their jobs and perform count, security checks, etc. They are too busy sleeping with the inmates and bringing in contraband. Another one bites the dust. Thank you for the tips. So, yeah, that was from, what is this? Human and Civil Rights Coalition of Georgia. That was a post. Somebody from the inside putting all this shit out there.
And it, I mean, it's common. It happens all the time, but like, it needs to be put out there, because it's like, it's like the level of professionalism that you have to have. Like, why would you come and like, I mean, I understand there's incentives. Like, there are some inmates that make way more money than I make.
Like, so, you know, you look at the comments sometimes and that shit's
just, I love the comment section.
Say, now, why would y'all go and get the pic, get this picture of all these pics of this lady?
They did it wrong with the picture too. I don't know where they got that picture of her from, but
she got it out there, man.
Listen, it is not her work photo, that's for sure.
Yeah, my question would be, why would she post pics like these? And you are a professional and work in the public eye. Everything does not need to be on social media. Yet that is true. If you are professional, which
Hancock, these people are not professional,
does not understand, they, that is not in their, that is not a part of their vocabulary. Like, that is not a part of their life. Professionalism, no comprende for them.
You have to understand, like, these people are straight out of the country of Georgia. Like, not the country of Georgia, but
the state of Georgia.
But the countryside, like the rural areas of Georgia. And like, most of them, this is their first job. Like, it was either that or work at, what is it, the perfume plant or something like that. Like, that was the that's the opportunity in that town is, oh, when I turn 18, I can go work at the prison. Like, that's the mindset that these people have, and there's no professionalism about it. There's no, like, I get it. If you really have ambition and you're like, I want to work up to be a warden, which, you know, fuck you, but I respect it, you know what I'm saying, because you have that ambition. But a lot of these people, they're just going to get a paycheck they're not comprehending the fact that they are in charge of people's lives. And obviously, as we have mentioned, it's not working. Like, they're not taking care of the things that they should be taking care of.
No, because it's just, they don't give a shit. Now, I can understand to an extent of why they don't give a shit. Is because, you know, they get, you know, they ain't
really, they're not getting paid.
They're not getting paid all that great. And it's a difficult job having to, you know, as far as the hours go. But because of that, it's like all you need to be doing is the minimal they're asking for. Get your paycheck because that's all you want and get the fuck on. They actually make it harder for themselves because what they do is they try to make it easier for themselves by trying to be friendly with inmates and shit.
Yeah.
And that's just not going to work. Yeah, you're putting more work on yourself and that's just don't do that. Just go by the fucking book and get the fuck out of there.
Because, you know, when you have those officers that are by the book,
they're easy to deal with.
They're easy to deal with because you know exactly what they're going to be.
And they'll bring the pack in too.
And they will.
Yeah.
But you have the ones that you know that are so by the book that you know, like, not to act up in front of them. That's all. That's it. Just don't let them see what you're doing that's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, most of them don't care. They're like, they don't care. Just don't do it in my face. Mm. But then you have the ones that are like, I want to be on the bullshit with you. Like, coming into prison like, oh, I'm going to bring the pack in and all this and that. And I'm going to be this big, bad boss bitch and take pictures on Instagram with all this money I'm making. Like, fucking stupid. Not going to work. It's crazy. There's this one.
I'm pretty sure that's going to be like on American Greed sometime soon.
I'm not going to
lie. That's how she's going to make some money. Look,
American Greed.
Hey, look, it's not over for you yet, Miss Battle. Yeah. Hey, you still got a chance. Go sell that story, baby. She work hard for the money.
No, so I actually,
for the money.
While I was locked up, I was writing a screenplay. Or not a screenplay, a TV series. So I have like 8 episodes of it. And it kind of revolves around these kind of topics. Like the things that I saw in the corruption. And a little bit of like the gang activity and how that affects both the inmate population as well as the staff. And like, it's a lot going on. I really, you know, if anybody's interested, you know, let's work together. Let's get this thing out there. Help me make this TV show into a reality. You know?
Yeah, we could definitely do that.
I have so many ideas. And like, there's so many creative people and smart people that I've met while locked up. And they just need that guidance, that opportunity to use the talents that they have in the knowledge and intellect that they have in a constructive way, as opposed to the destructive ways that led them to incarceration.
Yeah. I think the reason why you've seen so many of these people, you know, with their talent and stuff in there is because they're in an environment where it's like, you know, I like to describe it as the void, like there's nothing.
Right.
So you are all you have. So like certain qualities of you are going to come out because you're just in a, it's like an experiment. You have the controlled space, you know,
right.
You know, the space is just neutral. There's nothing, you know, nothing that's affecting you that you need, like, you know, like having to work, have your own identity, have your own clothes.
You don't
nothing.
Have like,
you have nothing.
You don't have social media bombarding you. Yeah, you don't have any of that. It's just you and your thoughts and paper, if you know, have unlimited paper.
I mean, hell, your thoughts are good enough, you know, for some people, even if they're not, you know, putting it down on paper,
right?
You know, everyone has the time to think in there. Yeah. That's why people's, you know, qualities are, they are reflected more because they're thinking. And when they're thinking, these qualities are influencing it. So you're going to see it, you know, parts of people's personalities and stuff. Whereas, you know, out here, people are in zombie mode, work, pay bill, do this. That's it. You know, okay, I have this much time for myself, you know, and within that time, how much time do I do take to think about myself and know myself, you know, and actually be myself?
They're going to take that time to scroll.
Yeah, because at work, you can't be yourself. You have to work, you know,
right.
Unless you have a job where
you can be yourself.
You actually can be yourself, which is excellent. But most people don't. They have a job where they have to, you know, cater to customers, they, you know, and do this, do that.
Just be a cog in the machine.
Yeah. You know.
And then a lot of people don't know how to be themselves. They don't have any personality. Like,
yeah, that's the reason why they don't know how to be themselves, because they don't have time for themselves.
Right.
To, like I say, in prison, you have nothing but time to sit around and think. So even the ones who bullshit a lot of the times, you can only bullshit so much. That door closes every night. Right. You are going to get quiet time to yourself when you're not sleeping in that bed. You're in your head. You know, that's the times that where people really benefit.
Right.
It might suck at the time, like, fuck, I'm up still, you know, I'm sleepless. But your mind's going, though.
Right.
And this is the time that to yourself that you need sometimes. And it bothers a lot of people. You know, I've had many sleepless nights where I'm just like, I haven't accepted, you know, myself yet. You know, that's why I'm having a sleepless night. You know, so once you're able to accept that, you know, accept yourself and you know, become a little bit closer to yourself, you have less sleepless nights.
Right, for sure.
You know, a lot of people out here have many sleepless nights because they don't have time to actually
decompress.
Yeah, decompress and have that and face it, you know, forward, you know, take it face on.
Right. A lot of people are afraid of what's inside themselves. And so they find a lot of these external things to kind of mask it, you know, like why they want to be on social media so much or do drugs or whatever it is that they do to occupy their hands so they don't have to deal with what's going on in their mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything they have to have, something has to have their attention at all times. Yeah. Yeah. We were watching some old school little sitcom things like, what's it called? Full House. What's the other one with Steve Urkel and shit?
Family Matters.
Family Matters and shit. Well, you know, they have a little intro song and shit. And we were watching this shit, and Tanya's friend was like, you know what? I was thinking in my head, that was a long ass fucking intro song. She's like, you know what? That intro song was like super long, like, you know, I was like, yeah, you know what, you noticed that too? And she was like, yeah, shows and shit nowadays are so different.
Yeah, their intro, you know, is like just a little blip of music.
Yeah, exactly. You know, quick, you know, like Rick and Morty's theme, you know 30 seconds, yeah. You know, but back then
that's really, like, even that's a long theme song.
Yeah, if it was even 30 seconds, I don't even think it's 30 seconds. But you know, the Family Matters and all stuff, that's just like a whole song. Yeah. They sing the whole song. And back then, our attention, we were able to pay attention much longer. It's like, as devices came out, the less attention everyone can pay. You know, like children, you know, they're supposed to fucking be thinking about everything. But like adults now, I mean, it's grown everyone. The social media shit, you know, having to have your attention at all times, like scroll.
Yeah.
You're not gonna watch that video, but for a few seconds, oh, don't got my attention. Go. Oh, it's got my attention. Oh, it lost my attention. It's never, you don't need patience anymore.
Right.
It's like, we need now.
Everybody wants that instant gratification.
Yeah.
No one's willing to just sit down and like, just enjoy something, take in, like, sit down and watch a movie and actually just watch it, not have it on in the background and scroll through your phone.
Yeah, that shit. I hate that shit.
I mean, I do it. Like, I'm guilty of it.
I don't do it.
I'll put a movie on and then I end up scrolling.
If I ever do watch a movie, I'm actually watching it. Like, I hate it if someone asks me to watch a movie with them, or if I offer to watch a movie with someone and they're like on their fucking phone instead of watching.
Now, when I go to the theater, I will definitely make sure I pay attention.
Oh yeah,
but I'm also the type of person, while I'm watching a movie, I have to look up every fact about the movie, about each individual actor, about what movie this actor was in before, and all, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, well, movies are too expensive not to pay attention when you're there.
Yeah,
I'm going to see that Bob Marley movie, The One Love, coming out February 14th.
There's a lot of shit.
I'm doing advertisement. Whoops. But anyways,
it does pay us.
14th. And, you know, I love Bob Marley. Like, I'm going to see that. We already have the tickets. I hope it's going
to
be good.
I haven't been to the... What was the last thing I saw? I saw Wonka. Well, I didn't see Wonka. I paid to see Wonka, and I saw the inside of my eyelids. I was tired.
Man, that sucks.
I heard a couple of the songs. I enjoyed it.
Wonka.
Yeah.
I'm going to make something new instead of just making remakes.
Well, maybe something new, like a prequel.
Something new that's like premium, like something that's going to last.
Oh, I know a guy who wrote, I know a guy who wrote a couple of screenplays and a TV show while he was in prison, and it's all original content, and I feel like that's the thing that people are looking for. So, you know, maybe if someone's out there listening and they know somebody who could, I don't know, help produce movies or TV shows or something like that, you know, I could hook you up with someone who has a lot of original content.
Mm-hmm.
Shameless self-promotion right there.
Yeah. We need an intern too, by the way. Not on Indeed, but, you know, you can just hit us up.
Yeah, throw that in there.
So.
This is crazy. Oh, man. There was this video. I don't know if you've seen it. I was going to send it to you. I don't know if I did. But I'm not sure where they are in the world. But it's a former prison, and they've turned it into like a luxury hotel. So you're paying for the prison experience, but it's luxury. I don't understand, because like the cells are like really nice and plush and everything like that, but the outside looks like a prison. And it's like, what if they were getting the real prison experience, like the actually. like, I'm talking about the food.
Oh, how about
the physical, the verbal beratement while you're walking down the sidewalk? Like,
listen, man, this could be a fucking episode of a TV show like Black Mirror or something.
Yeah.
So, like, they trick you into coming to this luxury prison experience, but you have to sign a waiver.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, look at this shit. Check this out. It has people lounging on the nice plush fucking prison things, but during your time stay, you know, you have a certain time stay. You sign your waiver for the whole experience. No one ever goes through all the paperwork, but it tells you that they can treat you how people are treated in prison.
Right.
So, you know, trick them in, like have dinner and everything. And after dinner, it's like lockdown. And when people are like bullshitting around, pull the SWAT team out,
yeah, start beating their fucking ass.
Beating their fucking ass and throw them in cells. They're like, oh, fuck. Yeah, this dorm's going lockdown for 2 days. Wait, what do you mean 2 days? I have to go to work. Well, you signed that waiver. This is a whole 40-day fucking experience, you know?
It's over with. You're locked up.
And show them real fucking prison. That would be an excellent fucking show or excellent episode of the TV show.
This is crazy because there's so much stuff about prison that people don't realize happens on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Like, verbal abuse. When I tell you that, like, those little bitty women, like 5'2", talking to me like I'm a child.
A bitch.
Like, yeah, I'm talking about just call me everything but a child of God in front of everybody. And we all just like...
And it's a psychological thing. I believe they do that. They have the imbalance of women over men, women authority over us men. I think it's a psychological thing. I think they do that on purpose.
I think so too.
Because they have these women in there, and they're, you know how they are in there.
Bitter.
Yeah, mean as fuck. And just naturally, for the natural order, you know, women are not the ones, you know, being authority of a man. Right. You know what I mean? It's just not like that. So, like, you know, in professional situations, they'll have another man, you know, being authority over a man.
Right.
And a woman authority over the women. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just because of just...
It makes everything a little bit easier.
Yeah. So, you know, so they have these women over us doing, you know, controlling shit. They even control the men in uniform. Like,
right.
The women,
yeah, they do.
You have like a lieutenant come in there, and this sergeant bitch is telling everybody what to do. And he's like, he says something. She's like, you know, shut up, you know, and the nigga shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
It's like these, it's mind fucking people, you know? So now when you get out, you know, women want man, you know? So they're in there fucking molding your mind to having a woman being the authority, and people accept right. that, you know, and it really kind of fucks their mental up when like socially.
Yeah.
You know, I think that could subliminally fuck up your mental.
And then I feel like it's not even the fact that it's women, because I feel like the type of women that this job attracts are like women who've been hurt by men before, mm-hmm. or like they've been scorned, or they were abused growing up, and like now they want power.
A lot of them like the abuse.
Yeah, like they're trying to like almost bring a balance to their past by, I don't know, taking it out on these men that she now has power over. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm not saying that that's the case 100% of the time, but it definitely is more often than not.
Yeah, that's a good theory for a lot of them. But it does seem common. That does seem like a common thing with them.
Yeah, I've thought about it because you can tell which of the women are there for the power and which are just there for a paycheck and which are there to actually genuinely help. And the ones that are there to genuinely help, unfortunately, don't stay long because they see the corruption. They see how little that they can do as like a single individual. And like we had at one point in time, we had what was the teacher's, the professor that came in and was teaching, older black lady, Dr. Jeter.
Yeah, Dr. Jeter.
And she was really sweet, and she was very educated and very intelligent, and she like loved talking to us as people, but like she saw what really was going on in that place, and she hightailed it.
Yes, I'll never forget the day when she realized what the dude in the back of the room was doing the whole time. So I'm working up there in education.
Oh, that's what we were both working up there.
Yeah, I'm working in her classroom. So you have these infamous B11 bandits, you know, and B11 is infraction for public masturbation.
It's an indecent exposure.
Yeah. So there's a guy, he's sitting in the like kind of back of the class, and every day he would be back there with one hand under the desk and he'd be masturbating. Now, here's the thing, in prison, because I want to make it clear to everyone, I'm speaking layman's term, he jacking. You know what I'm saying? He's mad jacker. You know, they don't know what the fuck that means. So I tell him, you know, mad jacking is masturbating, you know. But anyways, so when you're an inmate, you know to stay out of the gun line.
Yeah.
So if someone's doing that,
I don't know what's going on.
You turn the corner and someone's like,
you know, okay, oh shit, my bad.
You know, keep your head up and keep on going. You know, it didn't happen.
Don't double take. That's when you get in trouble.
There are a lot of officers that are vets too that'll, you know, pull the same thing, like, you know, this nasty motherfucker, whatever, you know, and they'll deal with it. Now, Ms. Jeter, at the time, she doesn't know.
Yeah, she doesn't know that that's a part of chain gang culture.
She's getting shot down right now. She's getting massacred, you know, in the gun line. She's just standing all up in the gun line, getting hit by all the bullets. So she would walk over and help the kid or the dude, and she doesn't know that this man is fucking jacking his dick on her. Like, so the day she found out, like, she had just helped him, and she stepped away from the desk and looked, and she noticed it, and she froze, and like she was just speechless, like, oh. A light clicked in her head, like,
this motherfucker been doing this this whole time.
What the fuck is going on? Yeah, she went and sat down at her desk, and she just didn't say anything else. And when the block movement was over with, you know, she didn't even tell him to leave, that, you know, everybody knows it's time to go, so everybody's ready to go, and she didn't say anything else to anyone. Everyone left. A couple days later, it was over, but she didn't come back.
Yeah. It's crazy.
You didn't do anything wrong, Dr. Jeter.
No, she was trying to help. Wrong.
Yeah, you did try to help, but some people just won't.
Are unhelpable.
Yeah.
You can't help someone that doesn't want to be helped.
But she was helping him, though.
I mean, she helped him, Jack, not in the way that she wanted to, but yeah. She definitely helped him.
Yeah. But that was crazy.
Oh, man.
She got the fuck on.
Yeah.
But she was very professional, man.
She was. And
that's not the environment for anyone professional.
No, it's not.
You know, the professionals have been to Hancock and tried working at Hancock.
And it doesn't work.
Professionalism is not going to work in that system.
No, because it's just so... It's so ingrained in the way that it is, and it's been running this way for so long that it just is to the point where it's just, it is what it is. Yeah. And without just like a major upheaval, there's no way to change the system. Like, you can't change it from within. I don't know. It's something that needs to be done, but like, I couldn't even comprehend how, or like the resources that it would take. And I don't know, because even with all the contraband that's in there because of the corruption that's going on, because obviously the inmates aren't bringing it in, you know what I'm saying? Like, sure, maybe something comes through visitation every once and, you know what I'm saying? But like, as much stuff as you've seen in there, that's not coming through the visitation room.
No, hell no.
And there are people that are in prison that are, you know, using what they have to take care of their families. Like, I know people that are paying bills from inside of prison just because of the way that the contraband works.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. It's bigger than, I feel like it's bigger than right and wrong, and it's bigger than everything. I don't.
It's all necessary. All of it's necessary, man.
But I mean, it's, you just know, like society.
It's a part of the economy itself, you know, and
there can't be a market without a black market.
Yeah, it's just like Bitcoin and shit. You know, it's like you have this Bitcoin and you can buy whatever the fuck you want to with it. You know, I mean, when you have money in prison, you know, you can buy
whatever you want.
No. When you have prison money on the account, you can buy a store call.
Right.
And that's it. Now, when you have black market money, you can buy the shit that's actually, you can buy
anything.
You can buy stuff that's on the store, or you can buy the shit that's not on the store that you have to get from this guy because he knows where to get it.
Or you can buy stuff online, have it sent to your family. You can pay your bills. Yeah. Like, it's just so much to it. Like, it's very involved. It's a whole economy. It's a whole society within society. That's separated from society, yet still connected in a way. It's like you're in a mental, it's like you're in a void, a time warp almost. Mm-hmm. And the people on the other side of it, they're aware of it and they can contact you within the time warp, but they can't perceive what's in the time warp the way you can from you being within it. If that makes sense.
Yeah. They are living in the time on that. Okay. Think of it as time zones. You're living in the Changgang time zone right now, which for me, Changgang time zone was 1 week was a day for me. Like, if I plan to do something, you know, I make sure it's done by the week, you know, Friday by Friday is going to be done. It's like, I'm going to cook this liquor and do it this week. You know, like that's a day.
Right.
Because weeks would go by so quick.
And like, it's because you know, you get your store call weekly, it's like weekly payday, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, it's the one thing that everybody has to look forward to communally is the store call. And so like, it sets the precedent for everything because like, you're literally deprived of everything. So like, you have to celebrate the one thing that you're allowed to have.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's just how everyone's payday for out here to right. compare it to. Yeah. The store call that's a weekly fucking holiday. So, anyways, if you're living on the Changgang calendar, Changgang time zone, like Changgang fucking atmosphere,
right.
Changgang reality, you're aging at that rate due to its environment. Like, you're in a whole nother, you just went through, Rick just opened the portal and you're in this, you went to the portal, you're in a certain place,
right.
And you stay in that certain place for 10 years, right? And you come out, you still look the same. And all kinds of shit has happened since you've been gone.
Right.
And it's like, you're still here after all this time, but you haven't aged like we have out here.
And you
and your mind is different. Like you're just different.
Right. And you don't feel like 10 years was a long time. I felt like I was gone for a long time, but at the same time, I don't feel like I was gone long, but like everything around me has changed.
Oh yeah.
Like really the street style, the streets names are the same and you know, the gas stations and then everything else is like different or new or repainted or repurposed or, oh, it's crazy.
I can say that the people are different compared to when I left in 2010, man.
Yeah, people are definitely different now.
Social media is to blame for most of it because people are so stuck on it. Like, this kid that I know, he is so fucking stuck on, like, Snapchat. This motherfucker got blocked out of Snapchat or something for someone reporting or some crazy shit. This motherfucker threw a fit, was crying and everything. Like, his life just ended. His Snapchat got locked out and he can't get anything off of Snapchat. Oh my God. Like, this. I thought there was an emergency going on. It's like, man, bro, are you serious? You're crying because of that? Man, that's not healthy at all.
I don't think these kids would have made it back in the 90s.
Hell no, man. Are you serious?
What is a snap? We didn't have. Like, social media was just even incomprehensible back then. Like we used to just go out AIM, and find. That was the peak. That was great.
Man, it paved the way for Messenger, bro. Like, yeah. Come on. If there was no AIM, there'd be no Messenger. Welcome. You've got mail.
And then even just the fact that they have phones and they can take it with them. Like, back then, you had to live your whole day. You know what I'm saying? And then go home.
I'm glad you brought this up.
And get on the internet. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the internet didn't go with you.
Yeah, this is what's wild now. We went to school at middle school, high school, you know, no cell phone on us.
Literally.
Nothing, no line of communication. When we leave that house, if you don't call before I leave the house, then boom, you know where I'm about to be at. You can leave a message on the answer machine. All right. You're completely safe to go to fucking school. You know, if anything happens, you know, there's ways to contact you, pay phones or whatever. Nowadays, if you tell like someone were to take their child's phone from them because they are misbehaving or they're fucking up, well, then he won't have a phone. What's he going to do without his phone? I'm like, what do you mean?
Like, I was like, what did people do without phones for hundreds of thousands of years?
Well, like, how are we going to know where he is? Well, he's going to tell us where the fuck he is. Like, and then he's going to go. Like, we did that. That's what we did back in the day.
Remember? Yeah, but we weren't where we were supposed to be, though. That was the difference.
Hey, but it doesn't matter. That's the chance you got to give them, man. You got to give a kid that much freedom. They should be able to handle that.
It's crazy. Like, people freak out when their kid doesn't have their phone. Like, I don't know how to find. Man, I used to be on the other side of town.
Me
and like four people from the neighborhood, like all the way on the other side of town. Like, what are we doing over here? Like, if we had gotten to an accident, our parents wouldn't have known. They would have found us eventually.
Yeah, they would have called the house. If she wasn't there, they left the answer machine. She might have had a pager.
No, but I'm saying, if like something, like say something happened. Yeah. But say something happened, like, you know, we're 5 miles in the opposite direction, like on the other side of town, and like one of us gets hit by a car or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that would be unfortunate.
Something could happen, and there was no way for our parents to know where we were because we were gone.
Shit, if you got hit by a car or something, there's probably a payphone close by.
I mean, even after, like, payphones died out, when people had cell phones, it wasn't, but, like, everybody didn't have a cell phone, you know? If you did, you had the little Nokia brick. I had one of those. You couldn't do anything but play Snake on it and look at your calendar.
Snake's all you need.
You know? That was the most entertaining game ever.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Times have changed. And it's crazy because we even watched the shift, like, the way that technology affected people inside of prison when they came and passed the tablets out. It's like the whole... It was like a culture shift, kind of. Yeah. It's like they gave everybody this... It's almost like they came through and handed everybody a pacifier. Like, here, look at this screen and be quiet.
Yes, I agree. Because when I came in 2010, shit, you go to the hole, you're stuck in the fucking hole.
You're just in there.
30 days, maybe you get a book, maybe you can piece pages of books that people ripped up and shit.
Oh, I used to hate, because they would rip the books up to fish them to other people. Yeah, man, and then it would tear apart, and then you got to sit there and like read a book and do a puzzle at the same time.
The
like,
abuse of books in prison is just so bad.
Oh my God. Come on, using guys, book covers to fish.
Yeah, books are very valuable, and prison is the last place for many books, which is great.
Which is crazy.
You know, there's some valuable shit in prison. Minds and books.
Minds and books.
But that's a very dangerous combination, you know? So, anyways, they abuse the fuck out of books. Needs to stop.
Yeah, because I enjoy reading. I read so much. I mean, I used to read growing up, too.
Yeah, I just really learned how to enjoy reading about, I guess, 10 years ago.
You know what it was? You weren't reading the right stuff.
No, I just wasn't reading at all.
Oh, well.
You know, I sat down and started reading novels and shit. I think the first book that I sat down and read and enjoyed was people make fun of him. They compare him to, they don't compare him to Stephen King, but he's an author too that does.
He's an author too? Dean Koontz?
Dean Koontz, yeah. See, you know what I'm talking about, that guy. Well, Dean Koontz, Life Expectancy. That was my first book that, novel that I read that I enjoyed and actually, I mean, it's the first novel I actually sat down on my own and read.
Right.
And it was an entertaining book. And I started reading more.
Yeah.
And then I ran to Game of Thrones.
Oh, man. Winter is coming. Yeah. Finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. We'll see.
It's better be my... As long as we've had to wait and deal with the alteration of the storylines, thank you, HBO, it better be good, George R. R. Martin, because, like, we're depending on you.
Yeah, don't let us down. I don't think you will. Just stick to your story. Screw what Hollywood says. Stick to your story because it's the best.
It'd be crazy if he heard this.
Yeah.
That would be insane.
Just do it, please. Yeah. Maybe we can have a book session sometime.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've read some... I feel like I've read books in prison that helped change my life. I've read books that I feel like everybody should read. You know.
Oh, yeah.
40 Laws of Power.
Autobiography of Malcolm X.
That's a good one.
Fucking excellent.
I read the works of Marcus Garvey, which is crazy. Like, they did him so... I won't even get into that.
He had a good idea.
The Law of Success. Anything by Napoleon Hill, which was written over 100 years ago, still relevant to this day. I read a lot of Aristotle and Plato. I was at one point in time, I was reading about theoretical physics. I read books on how to properly write screenplays, which was crazy how I just came across that while I was writing a screenplay and not writing it correctly. You know, a book called Manifest Now, which it helped me learn like the power of my mind and my train of thought and how it affects my day and everything around me and how you like, I've manifested so many things with just like the things that I used to write while I was in prison and how many of them I've seen come true. It's like, you can't convince me that that's not real. Like, I don't care what anybody says. You can believe what you want to believe. I know what I've seen and what I've experienced, and that's really all that matters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But reading is great. Writing is even greater because, like, reading is like your consumption, you know, like you're taking in.
Yeah.
And then writing is like you're putting it back out into the world.
Yeah. I think there should be a balance because, you know, what a lot of people do? It's like, hey, man, I read this for a book by so-and-so and this other book by so-and-so about this, you know, it might be for help and stuff like that. And it's like, they've read fucking 50 books on all these different people's opinion about how to raise a kid or how to fucking be a better athlete or how to deal with people better socially or whatever. You know, they've read all these books, but they've never actually put out their own theory, their own idea, like wrote down their own theory on how things should work or how something might, you know, be better. You know what I mean? Like everyone's always quick to get someone else's idea, but where do you think their ideas came from? It came from themselves.
Right.
So I think more people should be doing that. Even if you do go seek other places for knowledge, you should always have your own idea.
Right.
And you'll learn where your idea is when you're getting knowledge from other places.
And it's crazy because, like, to relate this directly to the Chain Gang, when I learned how to cook liquor, it was like a process over time because, like, somehow, like, it wasn't even intentional, but I was just always around people that were cooking liquor. Like, it wasn't ever just, like, I put myself in a situation where this person's cooking liquor and I'm over here, like, seeing what... No, I just happened to always be around it. And so I picked up different tips and tricks from these different people that cooked liquor. And then I took what they did and I altered it into a way that works for me. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, if you take all of these different ideas and philosophies and philosophies from other people, you kind of can mold it to your train of thinking and your way of, like, you're you, you know, and, like, make it work for you. Like, you're not just taking, which a lot of people do, is just take your words and spit them back to you. Like, you just...
Yeah, you didn't learn anything.
Like, no, you just...
You just tell me what I know. Yeah. Like,
you're just telling me what he said. You're not even paraphrasing it. Like, you're saying word for word what he just said. And, like, you think that you said some profound shit. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's like, if I ask someone, it's like, what do you think about space travel, or what do you say about this? What do you think about the nuclear explosion? Well, Einstein said such and such and such and such. So, okay, that's what Einstein said. Now, what do you think about nuclear fission? Well, Einstein says E equals MC squared. Okay, that's what Einstein said. Now, what do you say? They won't.
Will never be able to answer.
They won't comprehend, like, what I'm saying. What is your opinion on it? You know, it could be based on E equals MC squared. It could be based on relevance of mass over whatever and whatever. But what is your interpretation on it? Like, make it make sense to you. How does it make sense to you as far as it working? You know,
right?
But people are stuck in the programming where it won't allow them to. Wait, let me think about it. For example, the Bible. I love this one. It's like, we get this book, and before we read the book, we already have bias because it's like, you read it, it's like, oh yeah, you're going to read about that devil in there? Oh, he the bad guy, that Satan, that mother. It's like, oh man. So when you read it and you read the story, you know, it's not like you're reading the story in a pure form because you already know who the bad guy is,
right,
who the good guy is. Now, if no one ever told you who the bad guy was, or who the good guy was, then, and people were able to think on their, you know, on their own, like, oh, look at the snake slithering over to talk, you know, pull up and talk to this woman. Oh, and gave her information on how to have knowledge to
escape the prison that she was in.
Yeah, and give us knowledge to create and be like fucking God. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck? That's my partner. That's my favorite. That's the hero.
Yeah,
you know, this other God guy who comes through the garden saying, "Hey, what you doing?
Giving me rules?
Why you touching my tree, nigga? You know, it's like, what the fuck you mean, nigga? I want some of this fruit, man.
God coming out of the sky saying, "Why you touching my tree, nigga?
Why you in my refrigerator eating my shit? You can touch anything in the refrigerator, but don't touch that shit." So yeah, God, what you need this shit for? You're God. You know what I'm saying? This for us. Like, we can consume this. Like, if you don't need to
consume anything.
Yeah, like, anything that you consume is like beyond me. Like, I can't even like fathom it. You know, this is for human consumption. That's just like us eating something that's for animal consumption.
Well, we're not. Have.
Yeah, we have. But what kind of savages do that? What kind of savage god eats something that's for human consumption?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. So anyways, so me being, to break that programming, I had that example to myself. I'm like, this is how I would see this. This is not the bad guy. This is a good guy. When you see movies and shit, I like to use Transformers as a good example.
Right.
Because you already know who the good guys and bad guys are.
Right.
The Autobots, the Decepticons are the bad guys. But like, hold on. How the fuck are the Decepticons the bad guys? Because Megatron, all he's trying to do is save his people.
Right.
But this fucking traitor ass fucking Uncle Tom goddamn Optimus Prime is stopping him from bringing Cybertron to life, back to life, because Cybertron is dying and they are trying to take Cybertron and put it here on Earth, which that should be their goal, to save their people.
Right.
So the way I see it, no, Megatron is not the bad guy. He's a very good guy. He's trying to save his people.
Right.
The bad guy is the one who is his people, trying to end his line of people.
Right.
Like, how could you fight against that? That's just like us. Like, if we are here to fighting together to build the black community, you know, what a nigga look like trying to defend everyone else, you know, against us. Like, what, nigga, what is you doing?
Right.
That's fucking crazy to me.
Right.
You, happens. You know? Yeah, the fuck that. Fuck you, Optimus Prime. You know what I mean? Like, you's a bad nigga. You know what I'm saying? You fucking shit up. Niggas is trying to come up and you over here stopping it. You know?
Right.
So my point is, if you don't, you got to have an open mind, completely open mind. You know, before I had my mind open to break, you know, in breaking that programming, I couldn't fathom that. I couldn't think of making these people who are so-called bad guys the good guys, because I was programmed not to think that way.
Right.
So people ask yourselves, are you able to understand all aspects of it? So it's like, this is a good guy? Okay, how about this guy? X-Men, for example, Professor X and Magneto.
Right.
Professor X is the baddest motherfucking, he is the most ruthless villain of Marvel. And what's so ruthless about him, he's a fucking mind bender. He's a
telepath.
He's a telepath. His telepathic ability, Stan Lee did this. His telepathic ability is so fucking fire. He has mind control over the readers, having us think that he's a fucking good guy. His fucking X-Men ability, his fucking mutant power is real, bro.
Yeah.
Because people really think he's a good guy. He has mind control of the X-Men. He makes them do.
Oh, man.
He makes them do what he wants them to do. Oh shit! I thought you had it on.
I did. She can come through the do not disturb.
And you gonna answer?
No. Let it ring. This is crazy.
Damn! Right in the middle of my Professor X spiel.
Yeah.
People need to know about Professor X. That motherfucker's ruthless. Look what he did to Gene. Okay, back to Professor X. This motherfucker's so ruthless. You know, he's got human beings that read about him thinking that he's a good guy. Okay. Magneto is trying to create equality for the mutants. All the mutants of the world being oppressed, just straight up oppressed, you know, smacking niggas around, killing mutants in the street, you know.
Right.
Sound familiar? You know, and Magneto's like, whoa, fuck no, this is coming to an end, because y'all are really pushing it now. Like, right. y'all just made laws. You put laws on your books about, you know, being able to harm mutants.
Right.
This is not happening anymore. Now, meanwhile, Professor X, he is making, he's in politics, making deals with the politics, talking about some, we'll make sure the mutants don't respond and you know, and kill anybody, because they know that the mutants can fuck some shit up.
Right.
Okay, Professor X is stopping Magneto from turning the fuck up on the humans to protect the mutants.
Right.
How is he the bad guy? They will tell you that Magneto is the villain, even though Professor X and Magneto were friends before.
Right.
That takes me to fucking Harry Potter, the new one. Listen, Dumbledore and Grindelwald. They were best friends. They were lovers. All right. Dumbledore is seen as just the fucking golden guy. He's just such a good guy. You know, he's look at him. He's Dumbledore. You know. And Grindelwald, though, oh, he's fucking bad. He's Johnny Depp, which the best Grindelwald was Johnny Depp, by the way. Sorry.
Yeah.
And they were best friends. They had a pact together, you know, not to, you know, fight against each other or whatever. Now, what Grindelwald wanted to do is have the magic people, you know, pretty much run the world instead of the humans, the non-magic run the world. He even made like a vision and showed people what the future would look like if the no-mages ran the world. And it showed, you know, showed the nuclear bomb going off. It's showing oppression. It's showing like all this fucked up shit that's happening.
Right.
You know? So that was Grindelwald's plan. Was his ultimate goal was to not have this happen.
Right.
Which, because they stopped him, this is what really happened.
Right.
So Grindelwald was trying to save the world from the people and save the people from themselves. You know, and he might have came off as racist and wanting to be superior, but that's cool. You can be that because you have a superior thought of mind, and the humans have a superior thought of destruction.
Right.
You know, so, you know, there's a balance, you know, so Grindelwald was not the bad guy. I was feeling for Grindelwald, like, man, let that man out of prison, bro. Like, what the fuck? That's Johnny Depp, you know? Right. That's Grindelwald. They go, what the fuck? He's the good guy. Thanos. Sorry, I got to do another one, man. Thanos, man. People are always talking about Thanos being the bad guy. Thanos made a decision that no one else could do, you know, because when he said, you know, he's going to get this Infinity Gauntlet and he's going to snap to cut all forms of life in half so that the universe can continue on, because right. It was getting to a point of where it was going to collapse because of the way life was multiplying.
Right.
So they're like, that's fucking crazy. But it's not crazy because he proved it before that's what happened. That's what happened to his planet. His planet was destroyed because overpopulation and all this other shit that would have been changed if half population was cut.
Right.
And that is something that is hard to do, like emotionally, because, yeah, you got to get rid of people. But it's like, if the people are here, then we all die.
Right.
But if you get rid of the people, then some of us are going to live, some of us are going to die. So it's worth us continuing to live
instead of everybody dying.
Yeah. You know, so that's something that's pretty fucking brave. Thanos was the hero. And if everything would have won after the first one, what was it? Infinity War. Hey, I could have rested easily. Like, you know, hey, you know, Thanos won. Yeah. And he did it. Fucking hero has done it. But then they went and made another movie and beat the hero. the gang, they ganged up on him and jumped my man Thanos, bro. Thor cutting his motherfucking head off and shit. Talking about, you should have said go for the head. Man, come on, man, with that bullshit. But anyways, hey, I'm not going to rant anymore. But good guy and bad guy, fuck good guy and bad guy. You choose who good guy and bad guy is. If you're able to break your programming and make an unbiased decision on who the good guy or bad guy is. End of that.
Yeah, that was deep. I feel like we should end on that note.
Sorry, I kind of went off there, man.
No, it's cool. And that's
yeah, my nerd just came completely out. I went from Harry Potter to fucking Marvel to fucking DC. Yeah, I just did that, man. Sorry.
We did that. But yeah, first off, I want to thank all of our listeners. We've been receiving like good comments and good feedback. I feel like this is something that we need to keep doing. I want everybody that's listening to like and subscribe. Follow me on TikTok, Instagram, all social media, Rock the Outsider on everything. And this guy, I'm still trying to convince him to get into social media. He thinks it's the devil. Yeah,
I am one of those off-the-grid type of fellas, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of non-existent on social media, but I am working on it.
Yeah, but you message me and I can get to him. He's one phone call away.
Yeah, and I'm working on getting a page out there. I'm just going to have to
suck it up.
Yeah, and just do it. Yeah. And I am working on it.
All right, but thank you, everybody, for listening. Join us next time. This is the Outsider's Perspective.
Yep.